Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church this very fine Sunday morning, 5th of March. Special day because it's our AGM following the service after morning tea. Have morning tea first, yeah. So may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And I've left my...
Take this opportunity to say that a lot of the songs, all of the songs actually, are relating to a certain topic, which will become clearer later in the sermon as well. See if you could pick the theme.
So it's some verses of scripture, sorry about that. From Revelations 4:11 we read, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And from Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations." So now we will join and make a joyful noise with our first song, Love Divine. Please be seated. We are the people of God. The scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us and intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives us. So from Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." And further in Psalm 51, "The sacrifice accepted to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws in our thoughts, words, and deeds, and in what we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to bring you honour and glory in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand and join with me in the Apostles' Creed. What do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for our next song, Amazing Love. Please take a seat. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Robin will now come and lead us in prayer.
The collect for the second Sunday in Lent. Let us pray that we may be transfigured into the likeness of Christ. Almighty Father, whose Son Jesus Christ was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us faith to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God of promise and hope, we bring you our prayers, believing that with you all things are possible. Hear the prayers we offer. We give you thanks for the richness and diversity of human life, for our brothers and sisters in this and other lands. We pray for all who lack the necessities of daily life, those who face danger, conflict, or persecution. Teach us your ways of justice, that violence and oppression may cease and all nations know the blessings of freedom and peace. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks that in your love for us, you sent your Son to bring salvation to the world. We pray for the Church, for all with responsibility of leadership and administration, for all who serve you in this place. Teach us to trust your word, that in faith we may follow where you lead and bring to fruition your purpose in our lives. We pray for Eric, our rector, as he continues to give generously of his time to us all, for his clear teaching and for his wisdom in decision making. Keep him in good health. We pray for Julie, a CMS missionary in Asia, giving you thanks for her commitment to you as she shares the good news of your love. Keep her in good health, dear Lord. We pray for Richard and Sue Davies in Canteen Creek with our AIM, giving thanks for the wonderful work they do there and asking for your hand on their health. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, Lord, that in your love for us, you reach out to heal the sick, befriend the lonely and comfort the sad. We pray for all who are in trouble or distress, for those whose lives are cold and bleak, for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, the sick, the dying, and all who care for them. Teach us to love others as you love us, that we may bring the light of your healing presence to all who are in need. We pray for those in our church family who have requested this, for Vernon and Margaret Ireland, Graham Lowther, Margaret Roberts, Murray Holmes, Fleur Fowler, Rowan Allen, and Duncan Lupton. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for your guidance to the people of this state as they face the coming election of a new government. Give them wisdom to choose the candidates who will serve your will most effectively. We especially ask for their strength at times of crisis such as floods and bushfires currently affecting many parts of this country, that they may give the best possible assistance to the many people suffering as a result of these disasters. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks that you promise to those who believe in you the gift of everlasting life. We remember your faithful people of every age, your servants Abraham and Sarah, and all who have heard your call and believed your promises. Teach us to follow in their footsteps, that we may be brought to a new birth. Grow in your likeness, and with all your saints, enter into the joy of your heavenly kingdom. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall we join together in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Actually, impromptu spot. Had a phone call from Richard Davies this week, and he wanted to say how sorry he was that he wouldn't be able to come and say hello to us before he goes back to Canteen Creek, Northern Territory, not very long from now, because other churches have been coming more interested in his work, and one church wanted him to come to 3 services on a Sunday, which he's not used to, and so he was sort of booked out, really. But he wanted to thank us for our support, both in prayer and financially, and he never takes for granted, never asks for things. This is his policy. He's never really sort of asked God to do that because he knows that God will provide it for him, including they always need someone to be a house sitter to look after their house and their dogs while they're away for long months at a time. And he said, yet again, a couple, just an elderly couple from a church they knew, had already volunteered before they'd asked. And so that's been provided for them again. And they're just so grateful to God for all that he does for them. And we're so grateful for all that they do for him and for us. So I just thought we'd mention that and pray for them in this spot. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the faithful service of people like Sue and Richard Davies in going to places where not many people would want to go or be able to go culturally, to be able to fit in as well as they do. Thank you for their temperament, for their ability to communicate, to translate, to encourage, to uplift, to live an example of a holy and godly life, and to encourage others to come to know Jesus and to walk with him. We pray that you will greatly bless them, especially with good health, as they both had COVID and Sue is still suffering from that. We pray that you would give good health to Richard, who has heart troubles as well, as many other things, as we all do in old age. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give them the strength they need to do their work well. We pray for safety in travel as they travel such long distances over some pretty rough roads that have been damaged by floods. We pray, Lord, that you'll keep them safe and return them safely to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's now time for our third song. There's that word again. Let's see if we can pick it.
Deep.
Take a seat. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first reading is from Song of Songs. It can be found on page 543 of the Church Bibles, beginning at verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is perfume poured out. Therefore the maidens love you. Draw me after you. Let me make haste. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will exult and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. I am black and beautiful, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not gaze at me because I am dark, because the sun has gazed on me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you pasture your flock, where you make it lie down at noon. For why should I be like one who is veiled, because the flocks of your companions? If you do not know, O fairest among women, follow the tracks of the flock and pasture your kids beside the shepherd's tents. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
We began this year with a sermon series called Living Under the Lordship of Christ. And you might remember Isaac talked to us about the wandering eye and our need to live in control. Celia talked to us about the idle hand and our need to live in service. Jasper talked to us about the prideful heart and our need to live in humility. And then I talked about the troublesome tongue and our need to live in truthfulness. The series concluded with the deceived mind and our need to live in wisdom. Now, in God's sovereignty, we are moving into a series for Lent, which has the subtitle of Relational Wisdom. It's a series based on a book of the Bible that most preachers avoid. It's a poem about love, and it's called the Song of Songs. I have never taught from the Song of Songs. Most ministers haven't. And of all the possible occasions to do a series on this book, you might think that Lent is the most inappropriate. But Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And Lent gives us the hope of forgiveness. During this season of Lent, we as God's people prepare ourselves for Easter, when we celebrate the fact that God is love and that He demonstrated His great love for us by sending and sacrificing His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but might experience God's great love in an everlasting relationship with Him, which is a description of eternal life. We are called not only to experience God's love, but to express God's love in our relationship with Him and with each other. That's God's great command, isn't it? Two of His great commands. It makes sense then that God's greatest disappointment is when we lose our first love for Him and become half-hearted in our relationship with Him. Perhaps a sermon series on the Song of Songs, which aims to give us relational wisdom, might not be so inappropriate after all. Before we proceed, let's ask God to help us understand and act on what we hear. Almighty God and Father, please open our eyes that we may see your truth. Open our minds to understand it. Open our hearts to receive it. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Song of Songs might be the most controversial book in the Bible, but it is in our Bible, so we can't avoid it forever. Interpretations vary immensely. Some see a purely spiritual message about the love that Jesus has for us. Some see a purely earthly message about love between a husband and wife. Simon Manchester waited 38 years before he felt ready to preach on this book, and I am greatly indebted to his God-given wisdom in unravelling it. So let me just hold up the quotation marks, as Murray says, as I share what he shared. Before I go on, I am aware that some might be thinking, this book is not relevant to me because I'm a single person, either having never married or having become separated from my partner through death or divorce. But all Christians have a relationship with God through Christ. I never said this was going to be an easy sermon series, but hopefully we will rediscover that God is an affectionate person. He is love. He loves us. And we love because He first loved us. We are commanded to love like Him. That is God's will. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we just did in our service this morning, we ask that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Matthew 22:30 reminds us that in the resurrection, in other words, in heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. So being unmarried, yet being in relationship with God and His people, is in fact the eternal destiny for all of us. So let's see how God wants us to reflect His love in all our earthly and heavenly relationships. The Song of Songs comes under the heading of wisdom literature in the Bible, along with Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes. It has 8 chapters, and we will cover 2 chapters each week during this 4-week series. I therefore encourage you to go home and read the book as we go through it. The book is attributed to Solomon, the wisest king of Israel, who we know was not all that wise when it came to his own relationships with women. Simon Manchester says, "It is possible that God has brought Solomon to his senses in his old age, by giving him this relational wisdom, looking back on his life, seeing how he's stuffed up basically and made a mess of it, all the relationships he's ever had. Perhaps Solomon wrote this song to say, don't copy my mistakes, but learn to relate well. If we avoid the trap of being shocked and embarrassed by some of the rather graphic descriptions in the book, then we might come to see the text as a description of two people who are enjoying a good relationship with each other. And we might glean some advice on how we can relate well to others. Now, this is not the first time that the Bible looks at the relationship between a husband and wife and uses it as a teaching aid for our relationship with God. You might remember in Ephesians 5, Paul refers to the relationship between husbands and wives and then adds, I am applying it to Christ and the church. Simon Manchester describes this book as a manual on how to conduct a relationship with tenderness and perseverance, because that's how God treats us. And that this lesson is relevant to all of us, not just to married people. The first lesson we can learn is the importance of good communication. Now, we'll quote someone with a great deal of knowledge on this, Jack Nicholson, the famous movie star, who said, expanding sexuality was not satisfied through promiscuity, but through continuously communicating with someone specifically. The Song of Songs has a similar message, but says it better. So this week, we cover the first two chapters. Let's see, I'm not going to go forward. This week, we covered the first two chapters under the heading of communication. Chapter 1 talks about words of affection. Chapter 2 talks about words of security. But first, we should clarify the identity of the husband and wife. Now, this is a song by Solomon, but it is not a song about Solomon. Verses 7 and 8 describe the man as a shepherd. And in verse 5, the woman refers to the curtains of Solomon, not saying to the man, your curtains, as if he was Solomon, but she refers to them in third person. Then why does the woman refer to the man as a king? I think it's because the couple have chosen to treat each other with the greatest possible respect, sort of like pet names. The worst one I've heard is my friends call each other Petal. Oh, I hate that. other people call each other Babe, or whatever your pet name is for your loved one. I like Mrs. Percival as a very loving, romantic way to address my wife. That wasn't in the notes. One of the earliest pieces of relationship advice I received was, if you want your wife to treat you like a king, then you need to treat her like a queen. If this is true, then imagine what it must have meant for Solomon, the actual king, to write and describe an ordinary shepherd and describe him as one who lived and loved like a real king should. So part of the words of affection in the description is the description of the husband as a king. The wife also says of him in verse 3, your name is perfume poured out. By this she means that his character is attractive. Remember the way the Bible talks about the name of the Lord and the way Jesus taught us to pray to our Father in heaven, saying, hallowed be your name. God's name reflects his character. The beauty of God's name or character makes him worthy of praise. And so we see the same about the husband in verse 3. Your name is perfume poured out. Therefore, the maidens love you. Everyone loves a person who is of good and noble character. Now, there may be a lot of talk about physical characteristics in this book, but here we see that it is the beauty of the man's character, his name, that makes him attractive. So what makes an attractive character? To be someone who is honest, who has integrity, who is pure of mind and who is trustworthy, to be someone who seeks first the kingdom of God. That is an attractive character. We might know and appreciate the truth of this, but when we're honest, how many times do we judge a book by its cover? How many times have we allowed our opinions to be formed purely by physical appearance? Why are our comments to each other based on how much weight we've gained or lost? Why are our comments to each other based on the length of our hair? Oh, you've had a haircut. Or the shape of our glasses, new glasses? The words of affection in the opening phrases of this book reflect an appreciation of character over cosmetic appearance. God is not creating a soap opera like The Bold and the Beautiful. He looks at the heart, and so should we. In our relationships with others, especially with those who are nearest and dearest to us, how often do we share words of affection based on character? Even when the wife describes herself, she is talking more about her character. She says in verse 5 that she is black and beautiful. But this darkness is because, as she says, the sun has gazed on her. In other words, she has been working outdoors. She is no palace-dwelling socialite. Her family made her work in the vineyards at the expense of her own social life. Her beauty comes not just from her physical appearance, for she is beautiful, but from how she lives in dedication, commitment, obedience to her family's wishes, not from cosmetics, but from character. The woman is revealing what she is really like, just as God reveals what he is really like through his word, and ultimately through Jesus, who is the word become flesh. Since we can't see God, there is nothing that makes him physically attractive to us. We can only be attracted to the revealed character of God and the great love that he has demonstrated towards us in Christ, who seeks us and saves us and calls us to follow him. So as the woman searches for the one who loves her, her companions encourage her to follow the tracks of the flock as they follow the voice of their shepherd, presumably. And isn't that what Jesus expects of us? To follow his voice as our good shepherd. Now let's look at the words of affection from the husband to the wife. This will be good. He says in verse 9, "You look like a horse." Now don't try that at home. Not very good. I don't recommend it. He says, "I compare you, my love, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariots." Verse 9. Now that's not as bad as it first sounds. A king only has the best horses. They were impressive. They were valuable. They were sleek yet strong. They were beautiful animals, the best. One commentator says, when the woman describes or derates herself as dark, the man responds by calling her a black beauty because he appreciates who she is. The first lesson for good communication is to learn the importance of words. To use language that is uplifting and encouraging by commenting on character more than just on cosmetic appearance. The second lesson for good communication is to use words of security. We want to use language that makes people feel safe. And when you did something wrong as a child, like break a vase in the hallway, or perhaps gouge an enormous scratch along the side of your father's car as you tried to back it out of the driveway for the first time. You know, these things happen. What you wanted to hear from your loving parents is something like, "It's okay, it'll be all right." You don't want to hear, "You idiot, you're hopeless, you're useless, you're a fool." That doesn't make you feel very safe, from personal experience. Sadly, and that's mainly my brother, but we won't go into that. Sadly, the home is not a safe environment for many people in this world. The figures for domestic violence in this country and around the world tell us that relationships are not always the safe places that they should be. The biggest demand on our police force relates to domestic violence. There is a call for help every 2 minutes, and 2 women a week are killed. Broken and damaged relationships are more dangerous than flood-ravaged roads. In contrast to all this, the woman in this song, as we read in chapter 2, feels safe and secure in her relationship with her lover. She speaks of her husband as an apple tree who provides her with both food and shelter. In chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "His intention toward me was love." Now, some of us might remember the way that's translated in the old way. His banner over me is love. Love provides rather than takes. Love protects rather than destroys. Love, it sustains rather than sucking all the goodness out of the relationship like a parasite. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear, brings a feeling of safety and security. It makes you safe and secure. That's how the woman felt experiencing the love of her husband. That's how we as the church, the bride of Christ, feel experiencing the love of Jesus. Now, only Jesus is perfect at loving perfectly. Even with these guidelines, we all fail, some more often and some more obviously than others. But we all fail to love like Jesus. Yet we don't stop trying. In fact, God commands us to keep trying to love like him. And Jesus gives his new command, which is to love others as he loves us. I don't think the Song of Songs was written as the ultimate expression and example of love, as good as it might be. I think it points us to the ultimate expression and example of love in Jesus Christ. Now, throughout this sermon, I've referred to the couple as husband and wife. And this is not just to fit with the image of the church as the bride of Christ, as convenient as that might be. It is because of verses like chapter 2, verse 7, where the woman implores her companions not to hurry love, not to rush in to a loving relationship. Verse 7 says, "I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the wild does, do not stir up or awaken love until it is ready." So this is not the language of promiscuity. It's not that kind of book. It seems to me that this couple have been waiting to consummate their love. And this warning to wait is repeated in chapter 3 and in chapter 8. But back in chapter 2, verse 8 and following, we find the man bouncing up to the front door, as all men do after a long, hard day at work, and saying to his beloved, "Let's go out." Chapter 2, verse 10, "My beloved speaks to me and says, 'Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.'" Now, there might be a few men here who are feeling good about themselves at this point, thinking, "I've done that, except for the bouncing part." But I reckon that none of us, me included, have ever followed up that invitation to go out with what the man says next in verse 14. "O my dove, let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." It was culturally unusual then, as it is now, for the man to want to hear what a woman has to say. But that's exactly what's going on. The man wants to hear what the woman is thinking. She is more than just a pretty face. She is an intelligent person with a point of view whose thoughts and dreams are of great interest to her husband. And the man has created such a safe place in their relationship that the woman feels secure enough to share her thoughts with him. And in a sense, isn't that what prayer is like for us? God has loved us and protected us and saved us and created such a safe space for us in our relationship with him that we feel secure enough to respond to his invitation to share our thoughts and our dreams and our requests with him in prayer. Most commentators don't know what to do with what the man says next. Verse 15, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom." What do you do with that? Seems likely to me that he is saying something like, "We have a good relationship at present. Our vineyards are in blossom. And I want us to keep communicating with each other. But can we try to contain the words that might damage us? Can we catch those little foxes that ruin the vineyard?" This dedication to devout discussion delivers devotion and interdependence. Don't you love that? I'll say it again. This dedication to devout discussion delivers devotion and interdependence. This is how the woman sums up their relationship. "My beloved is mine, and I am his." Why are we studying this book of the Song of Songs? Why is it in our Bible? I think it can teach us that God is not a cold person. He is love. He is an affectionate person who speaks words of affection to us. He communicates in a way that reassures us and makes us feel secure. This book calls us to love, as 1 John 4:16 says, "Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." Why are we studying this book in Lent? Because I think it will help us reflect on the loving relationship that we have with Jesus. It will help us see that God, that a God of love demonstrated his love in Jesus Christ. It will help us remember that God abides in us and that we abide in him. My beloved is mine and I am his. This book can also help us to relate to each other, especially to those whom we love most. We don't need to use all the flowery language of the Song of Songs to make the people we love feel appreciated and secure in their relationship with us. We just need to use our own words to achieve that same purpose. Whether we are married or single people, whether we are currently in a relationship or separated from the ones we love by divorce or death, we can all learn to improve the way we communicate with God and with those around us. Let me pray using the words from two well-known Christian songs. Let's pray. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. And may the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day by his love and power controlling all I do and say.
Thanks, Eric. It's time for our next song, King of Love. Please take a seat. It's now time for notices, Eric. The only notice that I have is the AGM will follow.
That's right. So we go out and have a cup of tea and put a time. It's when we feel like we've had enough cup of tea. We'll come back in after we've set up. Birthdays for this month, we have, is it March? Fleur Fowler on the 3rd, Vernon Island on the 3rd, on the 3rd is March, the 6th of March is Fleur, 10th of March is Vernon, 11th is Bev, and the 13th is Haley, and Robin Crawford on the 19th. So that's a number of people. Keep praying. Lord, we thank you for your love for us, as we've been talking about today. We thank you for the life that you give us. Please help us to number our days that we might seize the day and take the time to remember what is important in life, our love for you and our love for each other, and to help guide us through the problems of life with that motivation and of your love flowing in us and through us. And we pray for the people who are celebrating their birthdays as they look back on your faithfulness to them, that you would continue to help them to be faithful to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, that's the website for if you would like to donate to Anglican Aid after the earthquake in Turkey in Syria. So please join me in the final blessing. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Please join us for morning tea.